Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week is a living miracle. He had 5 open heart surgeries by the age of 5, and after waiting 1 year, received a new heart on June 3rd, 2009. His donor was Audrey Erickson, a young girl who had just died in northern Minnesota. His name, Tommy Shoemaker, a living miracle. And he's joined tonight by his mom and dad, Colleen and Mike Shoemaker. And we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Brasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Brasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're with a living miracle, Tommy Shoemaker, soon to be 12. 5 open heart surgeries before he was 5. And then he received his gift of life, a new heart, on June 3rd, 2009. Tommy, welcome. An honor to have you.
Thank you.
And you're also with mom and dad, Colleen and Mike. Let's start with Tommy. Tell us about your mom and your dad.
My mom and my dad are my biggest fans, and they help me a lot through my heart surgeries and my heart transplant.
Colleen, you're pregnant with Tommy. 20 weeks into the pregnancy, you go for the checkup, and the doctor says, we've got an issue. His heart isn't developing fully. Talk about that moment.
Well, it was a devastating moment. It was a time where we were going in for our ultrasound and thought that we would hear just all the good things that you expect to hear when you're expecting a child. And unfortunately, at the toward the end of the ultrasound, they had to call in some more doctors to take a look. And it was determined that his heart was not fully developing in utero. And they wanted us to come back several times to sort of double check and recheck. But they started talking about congenital heart defects and throwing out very big words and hypoplastic left heart syndrome and coarctation of the aorta and all of these things that we just were truly in shock about. And, you know, walked out of that appointment just in tears and wanting to know more about what we might be faced with, and also hopeful that maybe they were wrong.
Mike, the actual issue was hypoplastic left heart syndrome. In layman's terms, what was that?
In layman's terms, it means that he was born with without a left heart, or without the left side of his heart, or at least not enough of the left side of the heart that it could sustain life.
Colleen, Tommy's born December 10th, 2000. He has his first open heart surgery 7 days later. Then, at 5 months old, he's got a second heart surgery. 21 months old, a third. 3 years old, a fourth. And at almost 5 years old, he's got a fifth. All performed by Dr. Beauvais.
Right.
Talk about those 5 open heart surgeries.
Well, each one was a difficult time. It was a time that we were it was scary, and we were very much trusting and hopeful that things would go well, but also knew all of the things that could go wrong. So it was just an intense time. And in between each open heart surgery, when we were able to come home with him and sort of get back to some sort of normalcy in family life, we tried to just focus on that and not think about the next one that was around the corner. But we knew that, you know, there were going to be more to come. And so it was definitely a difficult time, but we clung to our faith and clung to each other and got through them by the grace of God.
Mike, the heart was failing, and then a miracle happened. The surgeon said something happened that has never happened before in the history of the world. What was that?
Yeah, Tommy is literally one of one. You know, we mentioned earlier that hypoplastic left is that you're born with without the left side of your heart, or that certainly it's too small to sustain life. So those surgeries were done to kind of reconstruct the right side to do the job of both the right and the left. And so when he went in for his fifth checkup, or when he went in for his checkup after the fifth open heart, they found out that the right side was clotted closed, which means that he should, you know, he shouldn't be alive, because he didn't have enough of a left side, you know, to live. And what had miraculously happened, and I think, you know, we call Tommy not our miracle baby, but our miracles, plural baby, because there are just so many of them. But this is by far, I think, the biggest one. And that is that when they actually went in, they found that indeed it was clotted off. The right side was clotted off, and the left side had miraculously expanded and started working. And Tommy ended up then going for 2 years then, where he had a surgically repaired right side of the heart that sat dormant and did nothing, and this left side that he didn't have the month before that was now miraculously expanded and started working, that sustained his life for the next 2 years.
Tommy, they tell you you need a new heart, and you wait for over a year on the donor list, and then at 3:45 one morning, your mom wakes you up. Talk about that day.
Well, my mom woke me up at about 3:45 in the morning, and I told her what, and she said the hospital thinks you have a heart for you, and then I just got up right out of bed and I said, let's go. And I was ready to go to the hospital, and then she was all packed, and we just drove to the hospital, and my family met there later, and I went in for my transplant.
What did you say to Jesus on the way to the hospital?
Well, before I left on the way to the hospital, I went into my bedroom and I said a prayer, and I told God, if I don't get a new heart, I'll still praise you, and if I do get a new heart, I'll still praise you.
And he listened. We're with Tommy Shoemaker, A Living Miracle, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WGAR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Tommy Shoemaker and his mom and dad, Colleen and Mike. Let's go back, Tommy. June 3rd, 2009. You go to U of M Hospital, and a young girl in northern Minnesota, Audrey Erickson, had just died of chemical meningitis. And Dr. Oye performs the surgery from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Colleen, what did you do for those 7 hours?
Oh, those were a hard 7 hours. It was, you know, all of his previous open heart surgeries we knew about, they were on the calendar, and this surgery was not. So it started with the phone call and just wrapping our minds around what was happening. You know, there was so much emotion and so much anticipation, excitement, concern. You know, we had lived this life of being in and out of the hospital and going through these invasive surgeries for 8 years now. So, you know, we had seen a lot and heard a lot and knew all the things that could go wrong. So it was just a long, long period of time waiting and wondering what was happening. The nurses did a great job of keeping us updated. We had tons of family that came down and just sat diligently with us, praying with us, and just trying to make conversation and get through that crucial time until we were finally told that the heart was in, that it was pumping, that they were going to start taking him off of bypass, and all of those critical steps that had to happen. But it was a long afternoon.
Mike, what did you do during those 7 hours of surgery?
You know, during all the surgeries, when we're in that waiting period, you know, people always ask what is it that we can do. That is the one time I normally don't like crowds and lots of people, but that is the one time that I really need my close friends and family around me to support me. We do a lot of praying. We do a lot of reminders of the biblical promises that Scripture share, and that's pretty much what I do. We laugh a lot, actually, in the waiting room with friends to pass the time. We try to plan a meal, you know, down at the cafeteria in there to kill hours, and we pray and read quite a bit.
The donor was a young girl, Audrey Erickson, from northern Minnesota, who had just died. Mike, when you meet her in heaven someday, what are you going to tell her?
Well, you know, I've told her parents over and over, you know, thank you, and it seems, you know, it doesn't seem to be enough. But I think that we will both embrace up there in tears, recognizing how her situation touched my life and how Tommy's situation and our struggles that we didn't always see the end benefit, how it touched other people's lives. And I think that we'll both just be in awe of God's awesome power of working these things for the good of the kingdom and the good of us individually.
Tommy, when you meet Audrey someday in heaven, what are you going to say to her?
Well, what I'll say to her is probably thank you, like, a million. And, you know, I just can't say thank you enough for giving me a second chance at life. And then I'll ask her, like, do you want to do something? Or what do you want to do? Like, go play or whatever. And
you think she'll be a Tigers fan?
I don't know. Maybe a Twins fan or a Tigers fan. I don't know.
I think that'll let her be a Twins fan if she wants to be a Minnesota Twins fan. Tommy, people say you're a living miracle. The surgeons, doctors, mom and dad, neighbors, schoolmates. What's a miracle, Tommy Shoemaker?
Miracle, well, it's something that rarely happens, and when it does, it's pretty amazing.
Why are you a miracle?
Well, because when I got put on the heart transplant list, I was told that a lot of things were rare and that it would be rare that I would get a heart transplant. And then a year later, I got called that I would get a heart transplant, and it was a miracle because it was rare that it was going to happen.
Let's go back to that June 9th, 2009. Mom and Dad rushed you down to Ann Arbor, U of M Hospital. I think the surgery was supposed to start at 11:30. And you're trying to convince the surgeons to delay the surgery. Why?
Well, I was supposed to go to the hospital anyway that day, and when I got there, I realized that Brandon Inge was going to be there and meeting all kinds of kids, and I tried to convince them to delay the surgery so I could go meet Brandon Inge.
Who's Brandon Inge?
Brandon Inge is now the third baseman for the Oakland Athletics.
And at the time was the third baseman for the Tigers. The doctor said, you know, thanks, but no thanks, Tommy, some other time. And a couple weeks later, Brandon Inge comes back to meet Tommy Shoemaker. Talk about meeting Brandon Inge in the hospital.
Well, I mean, I woke up that day and my mom told me I had a special visitor coming. And I kept guessing and she never told me, and I couldn't figure it out. And then at around sometime in the afternoon, he showed up at my door, and I just couldn't believe it. It was amazing.
And what did he ask from you?
Well, near the end of his visit, he told me that he always signs autographs for his fans, and then he told me, "Would you sign my arm with permanent marker?" And so I took the marker and I signed his arm.
His right arm, right forearm, Tommy, in big letters. That was June 23rd, 2009. And that night, they're playing the Cubs. My Cubs. God always uses my Cubs to make opponents, families, and fans happy in life. I mean, that's the mission of my Cubs. And they're losing. The Cubs are winning. Tigers are losing. And in the seventh inning,
In the seventh, in the seventh inning, there was a runner on base, and he just came to the plate, and he hit the pitch, and it was a home run and over the left field wall. And on his way running the bases, I heard the announcer say, "Tommy Shoemaker, that one's for you, buddy." And that was just amazing because, like, a lot of people heard my name on TV, and it was pretty cool. And I couldn't believe it. And then he in the dugout, he pointed at his arm, and then he pointed at the TV, and he knew I was watching, and he was, like, pointing at me.
How'd you sleep that night, Tommy Shoemaker?
Not very well.
And the next morning, ESPN, all over America, all over the world, you were famous. You were famous.
Yeah.
Never have to do dishes again in your life.
Yes.
True or not true? Tommy, on 11/19, so 4 months later, you wrote a letter to Audrey's family, and you said, "Dear donor family, would you share that letter with us?"
The letter says, "Dear donor family, my name is Tommy, and I'm the one who got your new heart from your loved one. When I had my old heart, I missed the end of first grade and I missed all of second grade. Now I'm in third grade and I'm going to school every single day. I felt really sick all the time and now I feel so much better. It's hard for me to know what to say to you, but I want you to know how sorry I am for your loss. I am praying for you every day and every night. The gift you gave let me have another chance at life. Your family is special to me. Love, Tommy."
And that went to the Erickson family in northern Minnesota. Tommy, soon to be 12. At the time, you were 9 when you wrote this. When we come back, we'll talk to Tommy, Colleen, and Mike about meeting the Erickson family. And I'm Jack Prisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Prisula, and we're with almost soon-to-be 12-year-old Tommy Shoemaker, who had 5 open-heart surgeries before he was 5, and then got a gift of life from a young Audrey Erickson, who had just died in June of 2009, got a donor heart. Tommy, you, Mom and Dad, your brother, your sister, fly to Minnesota, and you meet the Erickson family. What was it like when you met Audrey's mom, Tommy?
Well, we got to the hotel, and we went up to the third floor, and we went into this big room, and right as I opened it, I saw her mom look at me, and she just started to cry, and she was... And I was just happy, and it was fun, I guess.
Colleen, what was it like when you saw the Erickson family?
I had a mix of emotions. You know, we were excited, we were nervous. You know, all of those emotions went into it. I had been corresponding with Krista, Audrey's mom, for about a year via email. And so it was kind of like we got to know each other, but we just were anxious to finally meet face to face. And, you know, the whole time we were riding in the cab to the hotel, we knew that they were waiting for us. And when we got there and we walked in the room, it was just kind of like that, oh, finally, you know, we get to connect and we get to give each other a big hug and shed those tears and just spend some really, really precious moments together that were just ours. And it was really special, and they did bring some photos and an album of Audrey and her life, and we just sort of all poured over that and just tried to take that all in. It was a special time.
Mike, Audrey's mom had one request. What was that one request?
Her one request was to listen to Tommy's heart, which was their heart before.
You then, the two families went to a Minnesota Twins Tigers game up in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that experience, Tommy.
Well, that wasn't just really an ordinary Tigers Twins game. Well, for one, it was donor night at Target Field, so us and the Ericksons were all going to get brought on to Target Field at the beginning of the game. And then, so me and my dad were by the dugout, and Brandon Inge was throwing around a ball with a teammate, and then my dad called out for the ball, and he threw the ball up, and I got the ball, and my dad didn't really know if he noticed it was me because I was wearing a hat, and he couldn't really maybe tell. And so we went down to the first row, and my dad told, and Brandon Inge saw me, and he told the security guard to come and take me and bring me onto the field and see him. So the security guard came over, carried me onto the field, and I walked over to Inge, and then we started to play catch, and then we had to go up to the batter's box and do some batting practice. And so while that was happening, Victor Martinez and Miguel Cabrera and Danny Wirth all came up to me, and they signed a ball I had from Brandon Inge, and they all said they heard about me.
All of America heard about you. And tonight, half of America's listening to you. You asked Brandon Inge to sign a ball, but not for you. You asked him to sign a ball to who?
Well, I asked him to sign a ball to Mrs. Erickson and to say thank you for Tommy's heart from Brandon Inge. And he signed that for me, and we went up and we gave it to her sometime during the game, and she loved it.
Colleen, this is one special young man that you've been blessed with. What's the biggest thing that Tommy has taught you?
Oh, he's taught me lots of things. It's his life, and just the different ups and downs that we've had. I think the biggest lesson that he's taught me, which it evolves and it changes and it becomes more clear to me as time goes on, but just that, you know, I love to know what's going to happen and be in control, and I've realized that, you know, I'm just not in control, and God is ultimately in control, and I need to continually remind myself of that and just give his life and what's going to happen in any of our lives up to him, because ultimately that's who's in control. And it gives me a lot of peace. But Tommy has taught me what's really important, how to put things in perspective, how to just to give back and to give hope, and he just all of some amazing, valuable life lessons I've learned through his life.
Tommy Shoemaker, what would you say to some listener tonight who's very sick?
What I'd say to some listener who's out there right now is I'd say never give up hope, and just never give up, and you'll get through it.
And go Tigers, huh? Go Tigers. Colleen, a couple who's just found out about a problem pregnancy, quote-unquote. What would you say to that couple?
Well, I do talk to a lot of expectant moms of children with heart defects, and what I try to tell them is that there is a lot of hope out there, and that there's so much that can be done, and to not lose heart and to not give up, and just surround yourself with a great support system. With family, with friends, with your faith, and get to U of M Mott Hospital if you have a heart defect with your child, and educate yourself, and don't expect too much either, and just try to take it one day at a time, because that's really all that you can do, and to let yourself feel all of the emotions that are normal, the anger, the sadness, all of it, because it's all okay.
Mike, for 9 years, the first 9 years of Tommy's life, he couldn't play ball. You know, he was in a wheelchair, machines tied up to him constantly. And now you play baseball with him. You throw to him, he takes you yard deep every time, okay? Walk off every time. I mean, you can't get anything past him. What does that feel like?
I have goosebumps with you just saying that right now. I you know, you ask Colleen what it is that she's learned from Tommy, and that's one thing that I've certainly learned is that there's all these things in life that we look at as small things in life have become big and huge and great things that don't pass us by as often as they did, you know, prior to us going through what we went through with Tommy. And the baseball catch and Tommy batting and running up steps and all of those things just come together, and there's no better feeling. You know, it's better than any vacation. It's better than anything that money can buy. It's awesome. And that's one of the things that we've been blessed with through this experience is that those things don't pass you by as easily as they did prior to us going through what we went with Tommy. So it's an awesome feeling.
Very regularly, Mike, when you're having a meal with somebody or talking to somebody, you talk about a passage in the Bible, Romans 8:28. What does it say, and why do you love that passage?
It says, all things work to good to those who love Christ. And I love that passage because I was challenged once with the question of, do you really believe that what you believe is really true? And I asked myself, do I really believe that God is working this situation for our good, for the good of others? And you know, that was a test for me, and I would have to say that indeed, that's where I get the peace that surpasses all understanding. Is that, you know, faith is being certain of things that you can't see. And there were times with Tommy's situation that I certainly didn't see where the good was coming out of it, or how it was impacting us, or the kingdom for the greater good. But I had faith in that passage, and I could believe in that passage that it was being worked for our good, and that offered the peace that surpasses all understanding. It offered a great deal of comfort.
We're talking to Tommy Schumacher and his mom and dad, Mike and Colleen. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Tommy Schumacher, who was given a new heart, a gift of life, from a young Audrey Erickson, who had just died, and who was given that heart on June 3rd, 2009, at 9 years old. Colleen, if there's a mom out there tonight who says, I don't have the strength to hold on another day. The cross I'm bearing, I don't understand it, but I can't get through another day. What do you say?
Well, I say you're right, you can't, because, you know, I've often said there's no way that when people ask me, how did you do it, how did you get through all that, I look back and I honestly to myself say I didn't get through it. There was no way that I did any of it. It was a supernatural strength. I always go to the verse in the Bible that says, my grace is sufficient for you, and that is what I lean on. You know, you can't do it on your own, and you have to, I would say that you will get through it somehow, some way. God will get you through it, and he sends blessings to you in people and help, but it's not something that you can do on your own.
Tell me, what do you want to be when you grow up, other than a radio host?
Well, yeah, radio host is up there, but besides that, maybe a basketball player or a surgeon, maybe.
You wear a pink bracelet on your right foot. You can wear that on the north side of Chicago, but not the south side of Chicago, Tommy. Okay? And it says HLHS. What's that all about?
Well, it says HLHS on it, and it also says Pray for Lindsay on it, and Lindsay was a little girl who just turned one and had her heart transplant 36 hours after I did. So we were like transplant buddies, I guess. And, you know, I saw her a lot in the hospital, and, you know, she was she was amazing. And then for my first heart birthday, she showed up there, and, you know, we sang happy birthday to both of us, and I gave her a cake, and, you know, we saw each other a couple of times, and it was fun.
Many of your friends, Tommy, get, quote-unquote, what you say, angel wings. What does that mean?
Well, angel wings are when your friend passes away, they go up to heaven with Jesus, and they earn their angel wings, and they become an angel.
Thanksgiving is just right around the corner, a couple more weeks. Tommy, what are you most thankful for?
I'm most thankful for God and for Jesus and for Audrey and for my heart transplant.
There's a book that's been out a couple years, Heaven is for Real. It's about a young boy who was having surgery and went to heaven and came back. Have you read that book?
No, I haven't, but I've been trying to, and I really, really want to try to read that sometime.
Mike, you talk about that we have a weekend on Earth. What does that mean?
You know, when people say, you know, when you're going through the difficulty of this situation, and people say, you know, well, how do you know this is being worked to your good and to the benefit? I always point to the scriptures of Paul and of Job and people that have gone through certainly a lot more than I've ever gone through with this situation. And I say to myself that, you know, when they get up to heaven and they meet their Maker and they see the impact in how God worked their situation for the benefit of so many others and for the kingdom, that when you look at it, they would choose to come back and relive what they've done, just like I would choose to relive that. And the reason is because when you see the impact that it has for eternity, which is so much longer, it makes life on earth really be like a weekend of time that we've got to get through. And so once we get through that weekend, you know, with the grace of Christ, if you have that belief, you get that benefit of having an eternity for enduring this weekend in eternity together. Without pain or suffering.
Mike, if there's a listener that says, Mike, let's be real, let's be honest. It's easy for you and Colleen to love and believe in God. He gave you a living miracle. He didn't give that to our family. What do you say?
Wow, that's a deep one. That's a tough one. You know, I don't know what I say to those people. You know, again, that's what faith is. It's being certain of things that you can't see. And certainly in their situation or in situations that we've walked through, you don't get to see that. But if you do find Christ and you do believe in his words in Scripture, then you can be assured that there is a purpose in what you're going through, that it is being worked for your good, and that even though you don't see it now, there is a purpose. But man, that's a tough one.
Colleen, were you ever mad at God, or did you ever doubt God?
Oh yes, lots of times. I just remember, you know, I remember our pastor coming to see us in the hospital and saying, you know, well, what are you so afraid of, or what's your biggest fear? And of course, my biggest fear was always losing him. So there were many times where I questioned and doubted and wondered, and you know, we've lost so many heart families have lost their children, and I've been to way too many funerals for children, and it does cause you to, you know, wonder why, and why did we get the miracle and they didn't, or why did, you know. All of that I've done and doubted and questioned along the way. But ultimately, I do lean on my faith and ultimately trust in that.
In an earlier segment, you talked about Mott. Tell us about Mott and the people of Mott.
Well, the people at Mott are like second family to us. There, it's like a second home there. We've spent so much of our lives there over the last 10 years, and it's just an incredible place, not only with their medical expertise that they give to so many children with so many different illnesses, but just the caring and the true, genuine concern that they have for our child. It feels like, you know, when we're being seen by his team, that he's the ultimate one that they're concerned about. And I know they care for so many in such a tremendous way.
Tommy, what's a hero? And do you think you're a hero?
A hero is someone that is like saves the day, or is like another word for maybe a miracle, or it's kind of hard to explain, but it's amazing.
Mike, you and Colleen many times, not always, have referred to him as your hero. Talk about that.
Well, I would say Tommy is one of my heroes, certainly because of, how he does save the day, regardless of the struggle that he's going through. He's taught me that, again, the small blessings in life that were blessings in life that we consider to be so small, he doesn't take those for granted. And he's always smiling, and he's always, we always say he's shaking hands and kissing babies, and he's like the mayor on the fifth floor over at Mott Hospital. And he's just got this exuberant amount of energy and positive attitude, and has a passion for life. And that saves the day for me. And it reminds me to focus on what we do have and not what we don't have.
Tommy, you're the youngest guest we've ever had in the 8 years on this show, and you're the bravest guest we've ever had on this show. A living miracle. Keep making Mom and Dad and God proud every day. And remember us when you're famous. Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Wasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spawn.